views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is January the 22nd, 2019. It is a Tuesday. We have a live show for you today. We just want to thank you all for listening. At any time, if you'd like to get in on this conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. But before we get into today's show, we're going to take care of some administrative duty. As usual, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Keith took a look at his glasses, his spectacles, because Pastor Keith doesn't have glasses. He has spectacles because they go way back to the 30s.
Because I don't need them.
And so he's checking them out. So at least he's not playing the video games that he usually does. So if you'd like to get in, excuse me, let me go back to where we were. Listen, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to the website and make a donation via the website and become a member in BTR Community. It's a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. And with that being said, also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can go to prosperitymint.com. Prosperitymint.com is where you can acquire real money in exchange for your currency, as long as the currency is accepted. It won't be accepted in the future. When? I'm not quite sure, but I know it will definitely happen. So please, definitely do that. And we have a live show for you today. We have Pastor Keith. Keith is here in the building, going to be co-hosting, aka slash hosting the show today. So looking forward to that. And once again, at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. What you need help finding, Keith? Your glasses are on top of your head.
I'm tripping on the fact you know my glasses are spectacles.
Well, I mean, you know, anything from the 30s is spectacles. They had spectacles. So we just want to, I just want to say, man, I really do enjoy everyone and look forward to doing a whole lot. Gonna be extremely busy this coming year, great creator willing, and looking forward to it. So looking forward to doing a lot of things with you all. We haven't had a real seminar just for Tando Radio Show listeners exclusively by us, but me, Pastor Keith, and I are going to put that together this year. I'm going to put it out. Let's do it. I don't want to give people time. Let's do April. The weather will start to change a little. Let's do around April. If you have a calendar on hand with you. Boy. Let me see. Let me pull up a calendar real quick, everyone. tentatively set a date. Thanks, Keith. And we got a calendar. Wow. There we go. Let's do this. Let's set up for the weekend of April the 20th through the 22nd. The 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Let's do that, Pastor Keith. Let's tentatively set a date. I'm going to get Pastor Keith and I will work on that. If you would, Keith, let's mark that down. April the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And what we'll do is I would like to put a seminar together exclusively for our Black Talk Radio Network listeners, Tando Radio Show listeners. You can bring your friends and your family. Come to Dallas. We'll give a seminar, give a lot of information that I can't talk about here on air. And we'll have, and I'm going to add some other things. We may even do a shooting day to go to, because that's one of the things that I definitely wanted to do, go and have people that, regardless of what your shooting experience is, maybe we can rent out a range and go to a certified range and have some instructions on shooting. What I would do is that I would let them do the initial instructions at their facilities, then we'll build off of that from there. So that's something that we will do, getting everyone prepared. We'll have a financial seminar and a preparedness seminar for everyone. We have to get on board, And I will even post this inside of I will even go as far as going into our RDP group in Facebook that I'm not involved in, but I will go there and offer everyone to come, because I think we need to centralize. No drama, no problems, only building and collaboration will be done in that overall form. So going to definitely do that. Yes, Keith.
You said that. What dates?
The 20th, 21st. The 22nd will be basically people traveling back.
That's going Monday.
The 22nd is a Monday?
Yeah, you got the 20th.
The 20th? Saturday. I thought Monday, it was Friday. 20th.
It'd be 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Okay, it would be the 19th, 20th, and 21st. And then for those of you who can stick around, maybe you can for Sunday, if your travels, you could actually go to hear Pastor Keith in church. That would be good. So that's what we're going to do. Let's set that. That'll be the dates, and then let's start to work towards and for that. I think it's going to be significant. All right. So let's get into what's in the news. Today's show is part two. The people movements must be based in financial soundness in honor to Dr. King. Yesterday, we went into a lot of information. I gave out a lot of information. And today, we're going to focus more somewhat on that, but we're also going to take more calls and more interaction from you all if you would like. So give us a call, 702-804-5056 is the call-in number for that to happen. Okay, so we're going to get into what's in the news. First article. And what was it that I wanted to say? Let's get into it. First article. Keith, did you have anything before we got into what's in the news?
No, sir.
None whatsoever?
Not yet.
Wow. Well, I think that's only because he's just started a new game that he just, okay, so he just, oh, wow, he's putting in the dates for the seminar. Okay, my mistake, Keith, my mistake. You know, maybe your spectacles wasn't illuminating as much as they usually do. So I couldn't see the reflection. All right, so let's get into what's in the news. First article, Keith, very important. Check this one out, Keith. From Sputnik News, Russia enters the top five on national gold reserves, beating China. The central bank, from the Central Bank of Russia. Moscow, Russia entered the top five in the world rankings of countries with the largest gold reserves, surpassing China. Data of the Russian Central Bank revealed on Friday. Last year, the Bank of Russia increased reserves of monetary gold by 14.9%, basically 15%, or almost 275 tons to 2,100 tons, and that's 67.9 million ounces buying the precious metal on a regular basis throughout the year. You see what they said? Buying the precious metals on a regular basis. That's what everyone should be doing. They should be acquiring the precious metals on a regular monthly basis. That's what you all should be doing. Very, very important. So we're going to take a look at that a little more in today's show. Next article. This one comes from Ron Paul Institution, Fire the Fed. Very, very true. Check out that article. Next article. This one comes from USN, United States News and World Report. Venezuela quells soldiers' revolt. Top court blast Congress. So they're trying to have those overall coups to continue in Venezuela. Destabilization, y'all, and it's going to make things a whole lot worse. Next article from MSN, Fed's move to take over Sears pensions plan will cover the vast majority of the benefits for retailers 90,000 retirees. So the Fed is going to be looking to bail out Sears retirees. Here's the problem with that.
How much time you got to tell us about the problems with that?
Right, Keith. How much time do we have to talk about the problem with that? But here's the overlapping problem with that. Why does the federal government need to bail out any pension plan that should have been completely funded for, regardless of the health of the overall company? Because that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be completely funded absent of the company itself. They can't commingle their funds. So what does that tell you? That Sears has been doing what to the pensioners' fund?
Siphoning it. Well, actually, I won't even say siphoning it.
They're not funding it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, it goes back to the I'll pay you
tomorrow
for the sandwich today.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is, they take this money and it's never going to the account in the first place.
Right. It's stolen. It's actually fraud.
Yeah.
Ubiquitous fraud.
And what makes it so ridiculous is that our federal government has what they call a general fund, right? And this general fund is where all different kinds of money go for certain things and stuff. The money never makes it to the general fund. They just spend the money when they get it.
Yep, the currency never goes there.
It never goes there. So for them to be saying, okay, we're going to take over somebody's pension fund, like they're going to manage it the way it needs to be. They don't even manage it their own accounts like they're supposed to be. You know, Social Security. We can go on forever and a day. They don't manage those things. They just do what they want when they want to do with them.
Yeah, and here's the bad thing about it. Some of the extension of the bad things about it. One, it should already have been funded, absent of what Sears, the company, was doing. So that was not done. Now, when the government takes over and they bail out, do those individuals really think that they're going to get the overall benefits that they were promised or said that they would be given from? Absolutely not. And how much of a loss are they going to hit? How much austerity is going to be there? And this is what's going to happen. When the governments have to start bailing out pensions, guess what they're going to say? Okay, we'll do it, but here's the pension that you get.
Absolutely.
$2, $10, $100. Because you got to take on everybody's pension now. So this is why our seminar is so important. This is why the information that we give in the relationship, this is why becoming a prodigious saver is more important than being any form of consumer. Because this is going to happen. This is happening now. So guess what this is going to, do you think that this is going to be the trend that ends, or is this the trend that's growing?
This is so huge.
It wasn't really happening before. Go ahead, keep on the trend.
What do you mean it wasn't really happening?
Well, the pensioners, you didn't, you know, pensions, there were some pension problems before, but it's not on the magnitude and the scale that it's on now. Nowhere
well,
near.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it goes hand in hand with everything else we're talking about. The fact of the matter is this country's broke. And now it's getting to the point where it doesn't make any difference if the country's broke. If I got a Dave, I can go to it every day, and regardless of the fact that I'm broke, Dave opens up his hand and says, "You're good." Well, now that's where we've been for the last 10 years, but now nobody's opened up their hand and say, "Oh, no, we ain't taking that no more." So now all this stuff is coming to the forefront. But this has been an issue always since back in with Detroit.
Yeah, and it was always set up. See, the pensioners, the people that have received their pensions, you know, those that have been receiving pension for 10, 15 years now, those are probably the last vestiges of people that will ever receive a pension. And that was the trick to get everybody that's in the workforce now to buy into the pension system.
Absolutely.
You definitely do need a pension. I would say this, you never need a pension if you have a savings plan. See, a pension is a trap. It's an unescapable trap. Because here's why the pension is, we'll cover this in the show. Remind me of the unescapable trap of pension, Keith. Well, let me write it down because telling Keith is just like me forgetting. So, what did I say it was? Is an
unforgettable trap.
A what?
Unforgettable trap.
Unforgettable?
Unforgivable? What did you just say?
I don't know. I forgot what I said.
Oh, my goodness.
Unescapable trap.
That's what I said.
You know, it's not what you said. That's why I was checking. I was like, oh, my goodness. That's really bad. Unescapable trap. We'll go to that. All right. So, but we need to get into what's in the news so we can stay on task. Next article from Forbes. Case study identifying the relationship of gold to cryptos. Check out that article. Next article from Global Research. I meant to put this in yesterday. Order to kill Dr. Martin Luther King. The government that honors MLK with a national holiday killed him. So check out that article. We know that. Next article from South China Morning Post. Beware black swan and gray rhino threats to stability. Jinping warns his cadre. The destabilization, basically talking about, and I had another article that goes with this, what's going on, the destabilization of countries around the globe is happening because it's all the move into getting into the chaotic state of war. So there are COINTEL and PSYOPs that are happening to destabilize countries and governments around the world, and they're going to be hitting each other with destabilization programs before they go into all-out war. And it's huge, and it's going to happen for sure. Next article from Veterans Today. Infamous private paramilitary firm Blackwater plans comeback. First stop, Syria. Yep.
And what capacity?
The capacity that they've already been in and what they've known for.
But here's my question.
The military for hire. Mercenaries
for hire. Right. So the question is, are they mercenary hires for whoever's got money?
Of course.
Or are they United States mercenaries?
You know, for me, Keith, there is no distinguishing between the two. You know, the key is that they're for hire. They're definitely for hire. And so what that means to me, I don't know. I have an opinion about it. And it is one of the things that is very, very dangerous because it is what gets you into a all out global war.
Can Blackwater be fighting United States troops is the question.
I would say that, is it possible? Yes. Does it happen? I'm pretty sure it does. Will it happen? Absolutely. But can I confirm it? Don't need to. I know the ills of in the overall confines and the overall premise of war. all's fair for those that pay. So there we go. Next article from RT International, major article. You ready, Keith? What we've been saying since we've been on air: France and Germany pledge to defend each other in new treaty.
What they need a new treaty for?
Remember when I said that France and Germany are going to leave NATO and align with BRICS? Because wherever Germany goes, France has to go. A new treaty signed by France and Germany on Tuesday, today, reiterates their new commitment to support each other, which they have done as NATO members. Angela Merkel also supports the creation of a joint European army. Now, let me ask you something, Keith, and you said it. Why would they need a new what, Keith?
Army.
Agreement. Remember what you first said?
Yeah, that's already been established.
No, but this is significant.
The United States is not a part of it.
There you go. The original one was with NATO to defend and each other, including the United States. Guess what this new one is?
Without the United States.
Far worse.
Against the United
States. Yes. They won't say it, but that's what it is. And that's why they have to come up with a joint new European army. Huge. Next article from Sputnik News. Russian military detects launches of Israeli missile drones over the Mediterranean for today. A lot of stuff going on. That place is going to continue to deteriorate and be a flashpoint.
I want to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Back to the very beginning of this radio talk show today. Russia's in the top five.
Yeah.
I'm assuming those other four, if they beat out China, would be where's the United States in there?
Well, see, we're going to go to that, Keith, for today's show. We're definitely going to go to that. And so we will definitely pick that up. Next article from New York Times: bombing in Syria targets U.S.-led military patrols. U.S. is not going to leave Syria. Syria is going to really, really get very dirty now. Next article from RT.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Keith.
Now, you said they're not going to leave Syria, but you meant we're not going to remove our troops from there. We're still going to be...
They're going to deploy.
Right.
You know, it'll be the facade that they're doing because it sounds good, but it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Should it happen, it should have happened. It should have never been there. But what's going on now is kind of a setup. When Trump announced the withdrawal, it was a setup. They knew that there was no way in the world that they were ever going to be able to withdraw. But with because of their overall agenda, they were redeploying, and it sounds good. Let's tell them what sounds good. They'll report it, and they'll be naive to it. They won't care about it. They'll take it as whatever we say, and that be. But the setup of this is far different. Here's why: RT International, Turkey prepares to take Syria. Manbij, Syria's Manbij, won't let it turn into a swamp like North Iraq, Erdogan says. So Syria and Turkey is about to go all out on a blitz, military confrontation blitz against the Kurds and the U.S. military that's supporting the Kurds in Syria. This is why it's going to expand. That whole thing is going to expand. Next article from The Guardian. This kind of substantiate the last couple of articles from The Guardian. U.S. Kurdish patrol attacked in Syria as Erdogan offers to step in. Next article from Bloomberg. Let me pull this one up. Next article from Bloomberg. China's president calls for political stability as economic risk mounts. China. Celebrity figurehead president Xi Jinping warns party of serious dangers as risk mounts.
That may have to do with the trade war?
Everything, yes. But I think it has everything to do with the all-out war that they will be in with the U.S. In the future. Now you start to, because what's happening is that there is counter psyops that are going on to nullify and to weaken the overall Chinese stability. So check out that article. This is nothing but the war has already really been announced. It just hasn't, the common person just hasn't been given, hey, you know that they're at war now, so don't wait for that to happen. Prepare for it now. Can't. And you know what? I want to play this real quick. And I can't put it into the chat room, so let me set it up. I want you all to hear this. I'm gonna come back to it. That's what I'll do. Oh wait, I'll come back to that article. Let's go. Next article from the Globe and Mail. U.S. to proceed with formal request to extradite Huawei's executive. So they're going to try to extradite, and that is going to set up major problems. This is, tell you, the war with China is really, really ramping up, because her father is one of the most influential and powerful persons in China.
I thought they released her.
Well, no. They sent her home. They released her to home to stand trial. Now they're going to try to extradite her out of Canada to the U.S.
Where was home? Home was in China?
Well, she had a home in Vancouver.
Why would she go back?
No. When they arrested her in Vancouver, Canada, right? They never let her go. They sent her home. They let her go home.
So when you say home, you're saying her home in Vancouver.
Yeah, they let her go home in Vancouver. So they let her out of jail. They released her.
Well, they never actually extradited her to the United States.
No, the U.S. had a formal request for that proceedings to start to happen with Canada, where Canada will send her to the U.S. for trial.
But Canada said no.
No, Canada hasn't said no. Canada hasn't said no. And I think Canada is going to do it. Think they're going to do it. That was the remember, the U.S. was the ones that told Canada to arrest her.
Why would she comply? I mean, look.
Comply in what way?
With any of it. Because really, it goes back to everything we talked about all along. Look.
Yeah.
George Bush, Cheney, and we could go on. All of these guys are fugitives of the global court. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not leaving the United States because they know that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know what? We're just going to stay here. Why wouldn't she do the same thing?
Well, one, I don't know the complete dynamics. I think, and I can only assume this, if all is straight and forward, right, and all is sincere, she probably had wind of it through intelligence that they were trying to build a case. I'm pretty sure she wasn't ignorant of that. But she was probably going about it as business as usual, like, they would never arrest me.
Sure.
So while in Canada, she was arrested at the U.S. request. So Canada took her into custody, had her formally detained, okay? So detained in jail, and then the court released her on her own reconnaissance to home, to be actually to home only, released to home only, meaning she couldn't leave. They took her passport.
Right, right, right.
They put body attachments on her.
Heavily monitored.
They put body attachments on her, so she couldn't leave the country. So now she's in Canada, in Vancouver. She can't leave the country. Now, could she make a mad dash and everything else? Sure, it could be. Would it cause an international incident? For who?
Yeah, that goes kind of to my point.
But here's the problem. It probably would have to be a forceful exit that she would have to leave, meaning that there will be armed confrontation in getting her out. Because believe me, her body attachments are armed. All of her body attachments are armed. And so what does that mean? They're going to stop anyone that tries to do what? Lynch her. If anyone tries to lynch her, they're definitely going to engage. And what I mean by lynch is not the common lynching that we talk about. You know what I mean, Keith. Lynching means when you try to take someone out of custody of the authorities.
It's going to be contested.
It's going to be an all-out fight, and it's going to be a firefight. And so that incident, I don't think that they want. So very, very significant stuff there, and it really just says to where everything is war-wise. So check out those articles. But I want to get to what Jay Ping said, then we're going to get into this show. Let me set this up real quick. And I can't send this to Scotty, so I'll have to play it on this end. And it will be loud enough. Let me just set this up here. And everyone will be able to hear it. Okay. So let me just get set up here. Okay. Let me just set up there. And I haven't heard this, but I'm interested in hearing this as well as for the first time with you all. Let me just set it up. Okay, here we go. Listen up, everyone. This is talking about China's president warning of serious dangers, because they're saying this because before, when we first came on, you didn't have this type of emission, Keith, as to what was really going on. You're getting it daily now. You can't even keep up with the information now. Before it was much easier. Now it's you know, anything 3 to 4 hours old is news. So because that's how things are actually is very fluent, the destabilization of the global of the global military, political and economic situation. So here we go.
President Xi in the last few months, and of course Premier Li Keqiang, talking about the downward pressures on the economy here, talking about the external pressures and not, of course, the trade tensions with the US. But this is the first time we think we've heard President Xi talk about serious risks and dangers to the Communist Party's long-term rule. They have not had to wrestle with a slowdown of which we are seeing now, at least for the last 3 decades or so. As Kathleen was pointing out, fourth quarter growth came in at the lowest since 2009, but it was the full 2018 growth that came in at 6.6%, the lowest in almost 3 decades. There has been an assumption amongst officials over the last 3 decades here in China that as growth is going to continue to grow, they can pretty much have a grip on social stability. It is their key concern, is social stability, and at least anecdotal reports from our team who have been travelling around China suggest that at least in manufacturing parts of the country, there are increasing layoffs, and so joblessness is something that they're going to be keen on. So this was, as you say, an unusual meeting of provincial leaders here in Beijing. There was a lot of secrecy around it. We only heard about it at the end of the meeting with a Xinhua News statement. And it is interesting that President Xi is highlighting the risks to Communist Party rule. And if that doesn't spur on Communist Party cadres to get their act together, then nothing will. There is also something to be said around some of the anniversaries that we're looking at later this year, some key anniversaries that some China watchers think could be a flashpoint for those with anxieties, for those with issues. They could coalesce around some of these anniversaries, including on October the 1st, which is the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China, and also the 30th, or the 30th anniversary, I should say, of the Tiananmen Square massacre on June the 4th. Again, these anniversaries have in the past proved something of a flashpoint for people with grievances, and so there will be concern amongst some in the Communist Party that isn't allowed to happen this year. So certainly a pretty clear-cut warning from President Xi, particularly given the slowdown here, and of course the pressures with the trade tensions with the U.S.
And Tom, President Trump seems to be making the most of China's economic slowdown. Just minutes ago, he tweeted, China...
Well, I just wanted to stop there and just to let you know that you heard what China's celebrity figurehead President Xi Jinping was saying, was that social stability, which means that just like the once the Arab Spring jumped off, and once a lot of the destabilization protests that happened around the world, if you look at where they originate from, a lot of them if there are countries that are the U.S. is trying to manipulate, what's one of the things that they do? It's called the economic hitmen. They go in and they destabilize the economy and everything else, and they cause for what?
Chaos.
Massive demonstrations and everything else. This is not, this is, they understand, and this is probably the situation here because of the stakes are so high. So what do? You try to destabilize China as much as you possibly can. And so what is China going to do? They're going to respond. Remember with China, there was a article that we read a while ago, probably over 2 years ago, where China said that they will fund the U.S.'s enemies.
Yeah.
They will fund the U.S.'s enemies in country to destabilize them.
Yeah.
So that's definitely...
Wait. When you say in country, that means wherever country that they are.
No. In the continental United States.
That's what I mean. But what I'm saying is whoever took on that proposition from wherever they were that they were. So that means if it was Texas, if it was North Carolina, if it was Mexico, if it was Canada, wherever they were.
Right.
To,
they would fund, and that's what you see going on.
Right.
Hey, so this is of the overall war. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? I was kind of I kind of touched upon this with this person yesterday who was criticizing Dr. King for a nonviolent approach. And I said, you know, that was just simply a tactic. And anybody with any lick of sense would have known that black people at that time that was involved in that movement for human rights and what have you, could not take on the U.S. military, the National Guard, all the police, and hundreds of millions of armed white people. I mean, what kind of stupid you got to be to believe, you know, that Dr. King was going to be the leader of some militant revolution? I mean, it just ain't even possible. And I said, today it ain't even possible. It's not. I don't see, you know, and I'm pretty plugged in to people that's off the grid and what have you. There is no enemies in the United States that China can fund. If we're talking like funding some kind of revolution or something like that, you know, like the reason, what's his name over there in Africa? Patrice Lumumba was killed. Was assassinated because he was going to get weapons from the Russians. Or, you know, we could look at other African countries fighting for their independence and they were assisted by Cuba. I don't see anything like that happening in the United States, especially among black people, because ain't no black people planning for no revolution. They ain't training for no revolution. And so, I mean, I just don't, in terms of an armed revolution or funding some kind of armed insurgency in the United States, I just don't, I don't see that happening with us. Maybe he talking about somebody else. They talking about funding somebody else like La Raza or something like that. But in our community, man, we, none of us are seriously thinking about trying to mount an armed rebellion to take on all the agencies that I just named.
Yeah, can I answer that?
Keith.
I kind of see that, Scotty, as more like what you see in movies and stuff called the freedom fighters. And what I mean by that is certainly by yourself, you're exactly correct. But if you got the local governments falling apart, if you got everybody all over the country destabilized and marching in and out and uproar, if you got people deserting out of the military, if you got factions over here, and all of that chaos together makes a complete different picture.
Yeah, that's I agree. That's a complete different scenario, but we ain't nowhere near that.
Where are we getting there? You know, we're getting there. You're starting to see rebellion in this country across state lines. Right now, you're just starting to see it with all this women and stuff, all these women coming out and marching and stuff like that. That might seem small, but what it's doing is raising the bar. It's making the people more aware, which brings out more people, which brings out more organizations. And it's building to that.
Look, I'm not against people voicing their opposition to any kind of government policy in any way that they choose, and that includes marching and protesting and holding rallies. I participated in one myself, probably the only one I ever participated in my life, and that was the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. But I'm not a marcher, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of stuff been going on for over 100 years in this country, man. People been marching, protesting, speaking out, and what have you, but yet the empire persists. There's too many people bought into the empire. I'm just on Twitter with this dude, Malcolm Nance. If y'all know who he is, he's a black reporter I had never heard of until they start pushing this Russiagate conspiracy stuff. And he on there talking about how Putin has destabilized the United States by suppressing the black vote. I'm like, are you serious, dude? Are you really, really, really being serious with me right now? Because that, you know, the black votes have been suppressed for, again, hundreds of years. So all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe. And then they're acting like they're saying social media posts from Russia bots cause racial division, which is destabilizing the United States. When has the United States not had racial division? It was founded on racial division. So when people come at me with stuff like that, you know, it makes no sense. And then I question your credibility on everything else you're talking about.
Yeah, because it's true. Because, you know, sometimes what people will do is they'll try to jump on and make it their issue and not really see what the overall agenda. I think China will actually invoke funding the U.S.'s enemies here. And I think how they'll do it, it won't be the very apparent thing that you see. China's always done things in a very methodical, slow, asymmetrical way. They will destabilize the U.S. and they'll fund their enemies. Guess who? And when I say that, this is how I see the overall Chinese funding the U.S.'s enemies from inside of the United States. How they do it is this way. They do it business-wise. They have their overall, intellectual properties. They invoke China's rule into there. They expand their overall imprint and their footprint in the overall business arena. And what does that do? That now is funding the U.S.'s enemy because it's being funded straight from China. So their overall footprint in the United States becomes very, very influential. Look at how influential their footprint is. Wait, Scotty, let me finish.
Okay.
Look at their footprint with goods.
Right.
How many goods come from China? Because they're not going to fund, like Scotty was saying and like you was alluding to, Keith, they're not going to fund that type of armed revolution when they don't need to do that, when they can get more of a impact and more of an embeddedness and influence by doing it by other means and methods.
If the United States is destabilized, it's because of its own actions and vulnerabilities and what have you. And so, you know, China isn't doing what the United States does and continues to do in destabilizing these other countries, and why we have a refugee quote unquote crisis, if you want to call it that, down there at the southern border. It's because of the United States destabilizing countries. And what they're doing in Venezuela right now, funding Maduro's enemies in the country. I don't see China doing that. I do see them doing what you just talked about. Them being part of the BRICS nations and their investments in China and displacing the United States and replacing the World Bank and all the by collapsing the dollar, but again, that's not their fault. That's because you're the one who got rid of the gold standard. You're the one who come up with the petrodollar. You made yourself vulnerable. They would be stupid not to take advantage of the market.
Right, Scotty, that's exactly, but go ahead, Keith.
The only thing that I see different of what you guys are doing, though, is I don't see I don't see it if then.
It's now.
It's no. I see it and with.
Yeah, Keith. Yeah.
You know, all of that started to take place, and I agree with Scotty. The pigeons are coming home to roost.
The chickens.
Okay, the chickens are coming home to roost, but they're coming home to roost because what Scotty said, we brought it on ourselves.
Right.
But because we brought it on ourselves, it's awakened up, where it has awakened all these other things to come into play.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's not if being or the other, it's all of it.
It's
going to happen through economics. It's going to happen with them because they've been working on this in years. We talked about the fact that they bought up all the farmland in this country. We talked about the fact that they bought up 3M, which is a company that has mm-hmm. done a lot of our technology for welfare. We talked about the fact that they own the largest part of our debt. They're going to start taking advantage of all of that. You know, for every advantage that they have, they're going to take care of all of it.
And they were subtly building these inroads while the U.S. was trying to colonize and subjugate through the dollar hegemony around the world by force and by fear. And that's what you're saying, and that's what Scotty is saying, and that's how I really see it. And then ultimately, they will even... I can see as things get really destabilized, maybe they'll change some of their tactics to where they will actually interject some form of other destabilization by force and by
I can see that day after the untying of the state starts to happen. Yeah. I can see that. I can see if some country, some states wants to break away from the union like you talked about, and I love that term, untied states. I can see China coming to Texas and saying, hey, you want to break away and you need some arms.
Yeah,
ready
to be the right guy.
You know, yep. I can see that down the road. I certainly can see that. But, you know, again, why it's important to have Tando Radio Show. So when the states become untied, you ain't stand. You know, our community is being unprepared and then just, you know, ready to be slaughtered or herded up into some camps or something like that. We have to be in a position to where we can accept help from, you know, depending upon, you know, what kind of help it is and what have you, in order for us to come out the other side in a advantageous position when the untied states come about.
Absolutely. And see, you know, and I'm, what was real is options. What was key, what Scotty was saying, is that we can't fall into this mindset that is going to get us and people into major, major trouble. You know, that one individual that he was, you know, just alluding to that type of mentality. You can't go, let me tell you something. Whenever the U.S. from law enforcement with overall riots and everything else, if you stand in front of their skirmish lines with their equipment, you're going to get mowed down by that equipment. By their overall equipment that they have, they're going to invoke acoustics. They're going to use acoustic weapons. They're going to use rubber bullets that will be real bullets. They're going to be geared up for confrontation, and everyone is going to stand right in front of them. Because that's what they've been trained, people here have been trained to do.
In other words, you mean it's going to be Ferguson times a million.
Thank you, Scotty.
What did he say?
Say it again, Scotty.
What we saw in Ferguson times a million.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's a position of disadvantage. That's what Scotty is saying, man. We can't be short-sighted in thinking that is anything that is going to happen at this time. That we should even be engaging in and thinking that you really could come across. You're questionable in your overall mental stability if you're trying to do something like that. You're downright crazy.
Yeah.
You're downright crazy. And you're going to get people hurt because sometimes people at a vulnerable state become very, very, you know, you can have a power influence in people in their vulnerability, you know, because they're naive. And the thing about it is, you don't want to lead people to slaughter with your nonsense, because you really don't have your faculties, all your elevator don't go all the way to the top. So very, very important. Hey, check this out. This is what we're going to do now. Very important part before we go into the commercial break. I wanted to pick up here. I wanted to pick up this article. Oh, man, I messed it up. Okay, here we go. And this was from Sputnik News. It was an article that I had from yesterday, and this is part two of the People's Movement must be based in fiscal soundness. And it's an honor to Dr. King, part two. Here's the article from RT. No, this is from Sputnik News. Russia enters the top five on the national gold reserve list, beating China, central bank. Moscow entered the top five in the world ranking of countries with the largest gold reserves, surpassing China. Data of the Russian central bank revealed on Friday. I will say this. They may say that they passed China, but doubt that you passed China, because China has never released how much gold they really control. And they won't do it until the appropriate moment. And it goes on. Last year, the Bank of Russia increased its reserve of monetary gold by 14.9%, basically 15%, or about 275 tons to 2,100 tons. And that equals over 67, really 68 million ounces of gold. Buying the precious metal on a regular basis throughout the year, the data shows. See, let me tell you why the prices of gold and silver, physical gold and silver, was being suppressed. It was artificially being suppressed so that those that actually control resources can actually buy it at a position of advantage. See, when they buy precious metals, they don't buy 1 or 2 ounces. They buy metric tons of it. So if it's a difference of 1 cent, 5 cents, and 10 cents, it's huge. So they want to keep the overall metals price down, and I'm glad that they're doing it, because it gives us an entry point to get into the metals at the appropriate time. You buy an investment not because you like it. You should primarily and basically and principally acquire an investment because the seller's asking the wrong price for it, because your profitability is determined not where you sell, but where you enter the market. You have to enter the market at the appropriate place. Now is the appropriate time to enter the precious metals market. This is why Russia is doing it on a month-to-month basis, the same format that everyone here should be using. Very important. The article goes on. Before we go to commercial break, we got time. Listen, at the same time, China's central bank bought gold for reserves only once. At the same time, China's central bank brought gold for reserve only once over the past 2 years, last December. As the end of December, the gold reserves for the Central Bank of China amounted to 59.69 million ounces or 1,600 tons, according to official data. If you think that China has only purchased the precious metals, gold, once in the past 2 years, then I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. It ain't happening. China is actually, they will not allow gold to be exported from the country. It can only be imported. They are hiding what they're doing, and it's a wise thing to do. The United States has 8,000 tons. Germany has 3,300 tons. Italy is ranked third with gold reserves of 2,400 tons. And France is
You're spitting numbers. Say those again.
Okay. The numbers. The United States has 8,000 tons of gold.
8,000. Okay.
Germany has 3,300 ounces of gold.
Four times what the United States has.
No. The U.S. has 8,000 tons of gold.
Okay.
Germany has 3,000 tons of gold.
Okay.
3,300 tons of gold. The United States has 8,100 tons of gold.
Okay.
Germany has 3,300 tons of gold. France has 2,400 tons of gold.
2,400.
Yes.
Do the 2,400, makes it easier to hear.
Yeah. And then Italy has 2,400 tons of gold. They have more. 2,400 tons of gold. They have more gold than France by 10 tons. They got 10 tons more than France.
Okay. So if we got 8,000, how much does Russia have?
Russia, Russia now has 2,100 tons of gold.
2,100.
Yes.
So we still got four times what Russia does.
Yes, that's what they say. Here's the problem with that.
What about Saudi Arabia, et cetera, et cetera?
We'll go over, I'll pull those all those numbers up.
Okay.
But here's the problem with these numbers. The U.S. gold that they have, in my opinion,
not ours.
Yes, it's not the U.S.'s gold. The U.S. is accounting for the gold holdings that they have by the holdings of other countries doing what?
Not allowing us to keep it.
Storing their gold here in depositories.
Yeah.
Guess what Germany said? Hey, send us back our gold. Guess what the U.S. said? Nope, it's going to take us 7 years. So here's a big problem. The thing about gold and the precious metals, you know, you can never own it. You can't own the precious metals.
You can only hold it.
You can only hold it.
I have a question.
Here's why,
Dave.
You can't own. What's that, Scotty?
I have a question about what you just said. I don't understand. Why would another nation send their gold to the United States? I mean, what? You can't build your own vaults and secure your own gold? I'm in the dark about that. Why would they do that? That makes no sense. That's like you taking all your precious metals and storing it with...
Let me just say this real quick before you answer. I hope y'all know... And Scotty is great at that. Scotty is saying that because he understands. He knows why, but he's saying how foolish it is, but he's helping our listeners along. It's very, very important what he does there. But go ahead, Keith. Go ahead and answer it.
The reason why I want to answer that, and Scotty, what a ridiculous question that would be. Who would do that?
Right.
Absurd. What is the difference between them doing that and we put in our future and the government has pensions? It's the identical thing. We trusted these people.
Or even the deposit of their cash for banking.
Exactly. As absurd as it is, and I understand why Scotty would ask that question, because it is absurd, but we engage in the exact same thing on a daily basis.
I trusted
these guys to do what they said and have a greater return in doing that than if we would have just kept it ourselves.
And let me give you what the excuse was as to why countries were sending their gold to the United States. And this was what happened. During World War II, Germany was running around and they went to France. The first thing that they did when they went to France, after they invaded France, is they went to the overall gold storage places and they started stealing France's gold.
Right.
So what the countries did was that at that time they wanted to send their gold to a country that couldn't be invaded.
Right.
And why did they say that? Because the U.S. was a nuclear power and they knew that they couldn't be invaded. So they were sending their gold to a neutral country that hadn't entered the war yet and was going to be able to protect their gold, and then they would send it back to them if they ever asked for it.
Right.
Okay, same thing with deposits. Now, what was the deal that the United States said? Hey, they had a cash for gold scheme. Remember when you saw cash for gold places all over the place?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the exact same thing that the U.S. did, but on a sovereign wealth level. They had a cash for gold scheme. Send us your gold, and we'll give you
cash.
And what the countries do? Sent their gold over for safekeeping. And like Scotty said, wait a minute. You're a sovereign country with a military that can defend its borders and defend itself. Why haven't you been, and you already have gold depositories in your countries, why isn't all of your gold where it should be within your overall sovereign nation?
Because it was more vulnerable.
Well, they did it because, one, the U.S. told them they had to do it in order to be what? A part of the overall wealth creation of the new economy. See, what the U.S. government said was, hey, you need to give us gold And then if you want to participate in all of the trade that we have, we're the reserve currency status. We have reserve currency status in the world.
Which is what I was going to say. It was no more different than us investing in hopes of a greater return.
Yep.
Plus, it was safekeeping.
Yep.
Plus, it was isolated from all the others because they couldn't come all the way over here and get it. Plus, we trusted them. Plus, we had the petrol dollar, which was the global currency, and everybody had to use it because nobody could buy any petroleum without the dollar anyway. So when they were giving them dollars, that was something.
See, and this was also what they were doing. They told them, since we are the reserve currency, everything that you just said, Keith, but what they were doing, we're going to do it. We're going to have to catch it at the end of the break. Listen, we got. I just looked at the time. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll pick this back up when we come back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Hey, okay, welcome back, Dave. Everyone, to Tango Radio.
Hey,
yeah, guys,
Dave, I just wanted to thank you because I knew you had an answer and because I didn't know. And so thank you for telling us what the excuse was for them to take all their gold because I didn't know that, you know. So thank you for educating me.
My brother, my brother. But hey, check this out. Here's what was significant about this. What happened there? Okay, so here's what was so significant about that. So the U.S. was the had the reserve currency status. They had the petrodollar status, as you had alluded to, Keith. And when they did that, what was the U.S. doing? They was controlling the global economy. So what they did with countries is they would go to countries and say, hey, if you want to be a part of this global economy, this is what you have to do. You have to sign up for SWIFT. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to go by our overall standards of accounting and our overall standards of what the currency of the medium of exchange would be. And that would be the U.S. dollar. And you have to send us your gold in case you default. Now, if you don't do it, guess what the U.S. did?
Cut you out.
They would sanction you.
Yeah.
What do you see them doing now with different countries that rebel against them?
Exactly.
They sanction them, and then they send their economic hitmen to destroy their country. Then then the word got out is that we can't defeat them, so we must do what? Comply. And then so now this is where you start to get where they start to send. See, they don't care about cash. They can create. Remember what Greenspan said yesterday? I can give you as much cash, as far out as you want, as much as you want. But they can't do that with gold. They can't do that with gold because it's physical. They can do that with gold contracts, and they were so savvy in what they did is that they created a paper form of gold, like a paper tiger. They created a paper form of gold, and that's known as a gold contract from the CME, from the Chicago Mercantile that comes out of the COMAC. It's fool's gold. It's fool silver. It's fool platinum, palladium, and rhodium. So that was the overall trick, the criminal trick to get people to comply. Those same economic tactics they use on us every single day, as you alluded to, Keith, from our banking, our pensions, and our savings plan. So that's how they were able to get as much gold as they had. And remember, the U.S. also had a program in 1933 and from an Executive Order 6104, I believe it was. I can't remember right offhand, where Roosevelt said that everyone needed to turn their gold into their local Federal Reserve Bank. So that's where they increased their overall gold holding. And then there was a deal between Kissinger and China. And then it went from there to Saudi Arabia. And this is where you start to have the overall precious metals moving around the world after World War II. And this was significant with the Hunt brothers cornering the silver market, Gaddafi, and other figureheads throughout the world with the moving of the wealth transfer of the precious metals.
Let me ask this. Did the behavior of the Swedes impact this?
Huge.
Well,
huge. The Swiss had a huge impact in this. Actually, right now, the Swiss currency, the Swiss franc, is one of the only currencies in the world that's backed by a small amount of gold to this day. But that's just their currency, okay? But every country is still on the gold standard. Every single country is still on the silver and gold standard.
And part of the other thing is, and also in light of what you're saying and kind of what I'm asking also, is the fact that a lot of the people trusted their wealth with the Swedes.
Yes.
And the Swedes ripped them off.
Yes, and I will, yes, Chief, that is very, very, very true. And what happened was that during World War II, when there were people in Germany that was trying to flee the overall, the movement and the rise of the Nazi party that was taking over in Germany, one of the things that the families that were leaving the country, what they were doing was that they wanted to put their gold in safe holdings. And so when they did that, they went to Switzerland and said, hey, can we give you our gold and keep it in safe keepings for us while we actually move around the world and restabilize ourselves? And so what did Switzerland say? Absolutely. Well, when those families gave their gold, they got a receipt from the depositories or the Swiss government, and the depositories within Switzerland, and they actually, tried to relocate around the world or wherever they finally relocated. Then when it was time for them to redeem or repatriate their gold, get it sent back to them, guess what the Swiss government said?
What are you talking about?
Right. Who are you? What are you talking about? We don't have any gold of yours. Can you prove that we have gold of yours? And then they didn't acknowledge the paperwork that they had. And guess what they just did? See, you can't own gold. You can only control it.
And that wasn't with just gold either. That was with fine artwork. That was with all sorts of wealth.
Yes. All sorts of forms of money.
So, the entire island of Hawaii land?
Yes, the entire island of Hawaii.
Well, or I should say islands.
Yeah, the islands. The Isles of Hawaii, right. So, that's very, very significant. And that's where they start. See, you can't own gold. You could put your name on it. You could have a contract, a receipt for it. But guess what happens to the gold or the silver, Keith?
They'll just melt it down and change the face of it.
They'll just melt it and then take all of the inscriptions off of it. And guess what? It's just gold. Who has what? Legal right to it. Possession is what? Nine-tenths of the law.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very important that we understand that. This is why you never want someone else to hold your money. One second, you all. I just was trying to type something in. And so I'm going to go to how much gold each country had. And because Keith wanted to take a look at that, and you go to the gold reserves. Now, I do not think that this is accurate by any means. By any means. But it is a indicator of some things. So when it comes to money, as Scotty said, why would you want anyone to hold your gold as a country? It makes no sense. And it's the same thing with us. But let me give you the top, how many countries you want to know, how far you want to go down to, what country you want to go down to, keep or what number. You want to go to the top 20?
No, just do 10.
Do 10. Okay. Here is what the admitted, or what has been documented, or what is released as the top 10 countries in gold holdings in the world, is as according to the World Gold Council latest rankings in this month of January of 2019. I do not think that this these numbers are accurate in any means and measures, and there's going to be a new assessment that is going to come out, which is going to be pivotal. So number one, first country is the United States with 8,133 metric tons of gold. Germany is number two with 3,369 metric tons of gold. Next, number three is really number three, but it's not a country. Is next on the list, but it's not a country. Is the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Now, see, this is, you got to think about it. The International Monetary Fund has no cash, right? Has no cash. But what do? They go around and they steal resources from countries, and they stole it to the tune of 2,814 metric tons of gold.
How much?
2,814 metric tons of gold, 2,800 metric tons of gold. Where did an organization that's not a country get to be number three on the list? Because they're stealing it from indebtedness of people. What do? They get them in debt, and then guess what happens to those countries? They lose what? Their money, their resources. And what's one of the primary things that they want to take? Is the country's gold. So they did it. Next one is Italy.
Italy
is number three. Yes, Italian gold, the Moors. The Moors were significant in Italy getting as much gold as it had. And they have 2,451 metric tons of gold. Number four on the list is France, 2,436,000 metric tons of gold. Number five is Russia at 2,000, but then we know that they said that number has gone up to 2,100 metric tons of gold. Number six on the list, and I laugh at this every time I see it, China at 1,842 metric tons of gold. China has far, far more than that, but China's wise. They don't want to ever release how much gold that they have until when? The appropriate moment when all of the leverage will be there. Then they're going to admit it. They're going to admit it when they put the world on a gold standard. Then they're going to announce, this is the amount of gold that we have, and here's the gold to show it.
They almost bought that amount. You remember when we announced that big buyoff that they had, which went in account for any of that?
Yep, the cash for gold. Most of the gold that was acquired was sent to China as payment.
Right.
So there we go. Number six. Number seven, Switzerland at 1,040 metric tons of gold. If you think only Switzerland only has 1,000 metric tons of gold, you're sadly mistaken. Number eight is Japan at 765 metric tons of gold. Number nine is Netherlands with 612 metric tons of gold. Number 10, and this one is you really out your mind if you think this one, at 592 metric tons of gold is India at number 10. Do you really think that India only has 592 metric tons of gold when it's a part of their cultural existence?
Man, they live for it.
Their cultural ties is all through gold.
They live for it.
And you think that that's what they're... And there was what India did over a certain period of time, they actually brought up over two-thirds of the silver, the physical silver that the physical silver that was produced in the world.
What?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Why did they do it? Because they're a nuclear, militarily capable country to defend themselves from making such an attempt. Warren Buffett in the 90s bought 30 million ounces of silver, physical silver, and a couple of months later, he sold back 29 million ounces of physical silver. You know why? He got a letter from the government saying, you better sell that physical silver back in the market before we kill you. My opinion, but that's what he did. I know why he did it.
Is the Vatican on that list?
No. They won't admit to what they have. They... they probably are the largest gold and money holders as a recognizable institution. They're not the largest in the world, but as a recognizable institution, they probably are. Because they, if you can see them, they're not significant. They have resources, but they're not the controllers of anything.
Okay, so you never mentioned any of the Middle Eastern countries.
Yes, they're there. So, first Middle Eastern country would be Saudi Arabia, 323 metric tons. Then Lebanon would be number 16. So that's the overall gold holdings in the world. That's the overall money holdings that have been admitted to, you know, as of now. So now, here's the significance of that and why I wanted to say why that was so relevant to today's show. It's relevant to today's show because we need to do the exact same thing. As Russia's been doing, is buying it on a monthly basis. You have to have a monthly savings plan. And that monthly savings plan can never, ever, ever involve cash, saving of cash, unless you're using that for a specific thing that you want to acquire. You don't save cash just to save cash. Every bank and every financial institution that's on the payroll of the mainstream media and the corporations will tell you the opposite. You go ahead and do that and see how that works out for you in today's current events and where things are going. You're going to lose not some, not most, all of it at the appropriate time. One cyber attack and you're gone. But one, you're losing it, you're going to lose every, all of it, definitely, because here's how you're going to lose it: through inflation. It may not even be a cyber attack. Everything may be rosy and everything may never ever come to fruition. There may be no global nuclear war one. The overall World War III may come down and everything else, and everything will be fine. But guess what? They're still going to steal every bit of your cash through inflation. It's the hidden tax. And this is why I said that, Keith, when I was talking about the pension, is the unescapable trap. It's the unescapable trap, because the pensions is the unescapable trap, just like the bank account saving and having large amounts of cash in the bank account is an unescapable trap.
Anything that you give them possession of, you can pretty much kiss it goodbye, as far as futurely speaking. Sure, you got limited access to it now, depending on where you go, what bank you, they all got different things, but they all will show you some form of control over your money. But as far as future goes, and the United States has already told you that. They've told you in the writings, when martial law is claimed, all property, private and public, are due for forfeiture on demand of the United States government. And they've already told you that. So to put your future in their hands in a trusting manner, but then again, oftentimes, It's kind of easy to think, it's easy to get in these traps, you know, because of the way we've been conditioned, the way everybody tells you, the way everybody's advised you, and on and on and on. And it goes back to what Scotty was saying. That's the importance of these type of shows.
Yeah, Keith, it's significant in this way as well. Very important. It's even if you, the key with financing and why we have to have, the people's movement must be based in sound fiscal, must be fiscally sound, is because of this. Even if they don't have possession of your cash, they're still stealing from you. You can have possession, let's say you have a safe full of cash at home, right?
Currency.
Currency.
Yeah.
Full of cash at home.
Yeah.
And you said that I'm going to keep my cash in the mattress.
Like trying to keep your heat in the house.
Right. It's like trying to keep your heat in the house. Just by you possessing their overall debt instrument, you're losing, and they're stealing from, because they don't need to actually have possession of cash to steal it from you. Inflation steals it from you. What you have to do is you have to have immunity from that. You have to protect yourself from that hidden tax. You have to have a measure of escaping that unescapable trap is by not being trapped by that, falling into that trap. Because once you're in that trap, there's only one way out of it. It's through resources, controlling resources. So what do I mean by that? Because I don't want to misguide people, and I don't want to confuse them. Here's how you mitigate that problem. You use cash only what you should be using cash for, to maintain your quality of life, maintain your standard of living, pay your bills. That's what cash is for, and cash is for only. You have to become a prodigious saver in money, not in cash. So what you do to mitigate that problem is that you start to buy silver with your cash. Now you're out of that trap, because the overall, they don't have a patent on silver and gold. Silver and gold is non-patentable. They can't lay claim to silver and gold because they what? Didn't create it. Now the artificial gold that they can make, they have a what for it? A patent. It ain't real gold, but they got a patent on it. Can you patent the sun? Can you patent the wind? No, because you didn't create it. It exists regardless of your overall standing. So this is why you have to acquire something that is immune from the overall hidden inflation tax. Inflation is killing you. It's killing us. And this is why we have to be sound. This is why the people movement must be based off of fiscal soundness. Very, very significant and important. Can never be, you can't ignore it. You can ignore it, but you'll never be able to ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring it. You can't. There was an article that we posted yesterday, and it says, how much? The state of world government debt. Visualizing the state of government debt around the world. And this is significant because Dr. King's life strategy was to get us to opening ourselves up to something that would bring about prosperity. And it's very important that we take the fundamental steps to doing it. And we have to be fiscally sound in that movement, or else we won't make it there. We just won't. It is the overall soundness is so sound, it does not care who the individual is. Is if you practice this soundness, you are immune from a trap. So check this out. State of the world's government's debt. I posted it there. Now, there is, they have it in highlighted colors. The green is, the greener it is, the better. The redder it is, the worse. And I'm going to tell you, forms of parts of China are at the greenest position, and the U.S. is in some of the reddest position. There's only one country that is, there's only, no, let me stop. How many countries have more debt than the U.S.? I'll tell you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12 countries in the world that have more debt than the U.S.
How much debt does China have?
Okay. Keith, it is, let me find this here. China debt. And once again, I don't think these numbers are accurate as well. Let me see if I kind of can kind of remember, then I can look in the specific spot. Okay, so I'm gonna have to find it, Keith. I'm gonna have to find it. It's on here. It's a big map here. Oh, there it is. Okay, okay. China. China's debt is in, I thought it was around here. China's debt in there, in they're right between Senegal and in Ivory Coast at 47%.
47%. 40%. Okay, what's the United States as far as percentage?
The United States as far as percentage is, and we know this is a lie, is the most indebted, and I'm going to tell you why. It's the most indebted country in the world, probably combined of all of the countries.
And why you look for that?
No, it's right here.
Okay, go ahead.
The United States debt is at 105%.
Yeah.
The worst is supposed to be Japan at 238%.
Good Lord. Now, Russia has 0%.
No, Russia has, actually, Russia has 16%, but Russia has no debt. Russia is one of the greenest countries. The only countries above it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 countries above it. The number one country is, what you think the number one country is? With 0.1% debt. Hong Kong. Hong Kong. Russia is said to have 16% debt. Saudi Arabia is supposed to have 17%. Botswana has 14%. Russia has no real debt at all. So, but the U.S. at 105, even though on this metric is at 105,
we're out there with Japan.
Oh no, no, we have more than all. Here's why: because the U.S. had the reserve currency status in the petro status, so you have to account for that as far as the debt. Because debt means this: how much currency did you create? So, see, people think that, oh, they created cash, so they're out of debt. No, it's just the opposite. They created cash, so they're in debt. Read the front of a U.S. Federal Reserve note. Read the front of it. And it says, it tells you everything, the legal standing of its overall, its legal standings is defined as what it is written on it in its inscription. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. The word note is a form of debt. Your car note, your student loan note. Did you get the notice that you need to pay us? Your promissory note, your mortgage is a note. So when they create cash, they're creating debt. And we have to understand and work in these confines to our advantage. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the number. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm going to go to Brother Davis, who's in queue, and then we'll get back into the show. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, my friend?
Brother, it's always good. I wanted to call and give you a little shout-out about tomorrow's show.
Yes, sir.
This show is, once again, it's intense. And those people who really don't understand, do your own due diligence. Because in America, the moment you're born into the American debt. I just wanted to give that as a caveat. Listen, tomorrow's show is going to be based on a lot of the information from the Blood Red Moon eclipse that took place on Sunday night. That has a lot of effect on people that don't even realize it, because literally we are connected in so many ways that emotional as well as physical to different lunar actions like that in the universe. And we're also going to speak on the problems that arise when you make that transition from living in the system to living off the system. And believe me, they're not designing this so that everybody can do it. They don't want you off the system. And in actually some places, it's against the law. So if we get a chance, we'll definitely go into that. But Erica's been doing a lot of research on this blood moon, and she was actually up most of the Sunday night, or it was a Monday night, to see it, literally take pictures of it, and she was connected across the country with other like-minded people. So I think she'll bring a lot of content to tomorrow's show. Look forward to anybody and everybody coming in and getting a little bit more of the information that's going to benefit you. And either way, any show you get on Black Talk Radio will give you information. All right, Brother Dave, I appreciate the time, man.
Brother Davis, much love, much respect. Give my regards to Sister David. Looking forward to Wise Wednesday tomorrow. Very, very important. And Brother Davis was absolutely right. You're born into this debt society. So, but catch the show tomorrow, Wise Wednesday. Looking forward to it. So give my regards, Brother Davis. Much love, much respect. All right, so now what I was reading to you about the overall debt was the countries with the biggest debt to GDP ratio. So that it gross domestic product, and that's why it's based off of the gross domestic product as far as debt. That's not talking about their overall debt in total as well. Now, the U.S., as I was saying, is huge. Their debt is huge, and it's unsustainable. And it's very important that we get away from that paradigm, because the longer we stay in that paradigm, the more we actually lose. And yesterday's show, we went over some of the numbers. So, and I want to go over some numbers because I wanted to really crystallize how important this really is. Okay? So we had the CPI inflation calculator yesterday. And there was an article that we were reading from Business Insider as to how much people have. So what I want to do is I want to take a reverse roll from this. I want to say, well, here we are 2018, and I want to go back to, let's go to the 80s, to 1980. Okay, so I'm going to do, let's say you have $30,000 in January of 2018, and calculate that for June of 1980. Okay, so now, if you had $30,000 today, or in last month, in January of 2018, and you went back and you had that $30,000 and you got into a time capsule, and you went back to June of 1980, what would your $30,000 be able to buy? How much purchasing power would that have? You ready? It would only have purchasing. It would lose two-thirds of its purchasing power. You would only be able to acquire $10,000 worth of purchasing power with it. So you got $30,000 today. Back in 1980, it only had the purchasing power of $10,000. It is not that you would have had more purchasing power back in 1980. Most people think, well, I would have the purchasing power of $60,000. No, it went in the opposite direction. You had less. So let's take that same $30,000 and let's go further back. Let's go to 1965. But I want Keith to hear this. Keith, did you hear this? So $30,000 last month let me fix this. In December. One second. Ooh, I made a mistake. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait. Let me fix it. Nope. Made a mistake. Okay. Here we go. Made a mistake. Here we go. You fix it. Here it is. Okay, I made a mistake. Okay, now, Keith, December was last month of 2018. Yes.
Yes.
You had $30,000 in your pocket of cash.
Uh-huh.
$30,000 Federal Reserve note. I don't even like calling it dollars anymore because it's not a doggone dollar. The Federal Reserve note. You had 30,000 Federal Reserve notes, U.S. Federal Reserve notes in your pocket. And you got into a time machine with your crazy friends from the other planets, and they took you back to 1980. In June of 1980, you got out of that time machine and you wanted to go and spend that $30,000 of 30,000 Federal Reserve notes of cash that you had from the United States in your pocket. Guess what you would be able, guess what it would, as you went back, guess what it would have turned into?
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then as you move back forward, it would either gain purchasing power or lose purchasing power. So you got into the time machine with 30,000 Federal Reserve notes in cash. You got 30,000 in cash. And then listen, Keith, as you move
$5,000.
As you move back, it would either gain or go less. It would give you more or less.
I gain.
Okay, but listen. No, listen. So you got the 30,000. You're in the time machine.
Okay.
And the confines is this. As we move back to 1980, you will either gain or lose cash. Okay? Or it will remain the same.
Okay.
Based off of inflation, it will determine if the machine will also take out or put in or keep the same in your pocket.
Okay.
And when you get out, you're going to go in your pocket. And I want you to go in your pocket. And I want you to tell me what you think you would have.
$46,000.
Keith says $46,000. You just got out the time machine in 1980, and you now only have $9,875.
Okay, well, back up. Back up.
You just lost two-thirds of your cash.
Well, I did it backwards, what you did.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I said I'd have $46,000 worth of money to spend in comparison to the $30,000 I have. So I did it backwards. We did the same thing, but backwards.
Yes, you did the same thing, but backwards.
So you're saying $9,000 in 1980 is worth $35,000 today.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it, Keith. And $9,000 has the purchasing power. But the best way to put it is that your $30,000 today, if you went back to 1980, you would only be able to buy $9,000, $9,875 worth of good, not $30,000 worth of good. You just lost two-thirds of your purchasing power just by going back to 1980.
So let's do it another way.
Wait, let me do one more year.
Okay.
We're going to do one more year. And we did this, let's go back to 1965. You're back in 1965. How much do you think that you would come out that when you came out that time machine? You're back in June of 1965 when you were a senior in college.
Good Lord. And that stuff really hit in the 70s. And if it, I only got 9,000 to 80, I'm going to say it's going to go all the way down to $1,600.
No, not that far down. You got $3,700. You lost 80%. You've lost 80% of your purchasing power. And if you go back to when you were born, let's take 1948. Now you were born in
70.
48. Let's go back to 48. $2,877. So what is this? And I wanted to, we did it your way yesterday, and I wanted to do it the reverse way today so that you can really, really see. Here's what happens. As they create more cash, you lose more purchasing power.
Right.
Inflation is stealing from you. Let me ask you something. Here's the key. Back in 1980, did you have to work at let's go back to when you were in high school, when your first job in 1950, when you had your first job, Keith. You had to, Well, let's say as your first adult job in 1953, okay? Keith's first adult job in 1953, how many hours did you have to work? Did you have to work 8 hours a day, or was it only 4 hours a day? You had to work 8 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you worked 8 hours in 1953. And in 2019, the workday is basically based off an 8 hour workday as well, still, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you still work 8 hours, right?
And what year?
In 1953.
Okay.
Here's the dynamics of that. Let me pull up 1953. Because I want to make this point. In 1953, you worked an 8 hour day. In December of 2018, you worked an 8 hour day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You still work the same amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
But you got paid a living wage much less. Much, much less. Because your 8 hours. In 1953, it had more purchasing power. So you worked 8 hours, but you had a living wage that was what? Giving you more purchasing power. You work now 8 hours, and guess what? You're only getting paid. Are you ready, Keith? You're only getting paid for 1 hour, and you're working for free for seven.
Mm-hmm.
This is how this really works when you do the math. When numbers don't lie, it's the individual putting the data in that does. So basically, Keith, in 1953, you worked for 8 hours and you got paid for 7.5 hours.
Okay.
Wait, let me finish. Keith. You got paid for 7.5 hours. And today, in 2019, you work an 8 hour day. You only get paid for 1 hour. All the other seven, you're working for free. In comparison to the purchasing power in the two years.
All right.
See how devastating this is?
Let me do it another way. Because this is kind of...
Wait, before you do that, let me just add. Right. And most people have gone from an 8 hour day to a 12 hour day.
Yeah. So that means they work like 3 hours.
No.
And compared
to No. You're only getting paid for 1 hour and 45 minutes. You only pick up 30 to 45 minutes of wage income. You see why everybody's so tired? You see why everybody has to work so many jobs to keep up ends meet? Because we don't understand what inflation is doing to us, and we have a thought that the more cash we have, it doesn't matter that these athletes are getting these crazy contracts. They mean nothing if they're not doing something with that cash that they get right away. You want to get rid of that cash right away and turn it into an asset.
All right, so let me paint another example the way that I would see it, right? Because you're saying that you had $35,000 now, it was worth $8,000
no.
in 1980.
Oh, yes. It was worth $9,000
in 1980. So that will mean this. That's almost 3.5 times, right?
Two-thirds.
So that means if you took 1980, let's go back to your original conversation where I think we were kind of going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, like, you were blessed in 1980 and you saved $1 million and you put that in the safe for your future, and you got $1 million sitting there. That means today that would be worth about $300,000. So where you kept $1 million that you didn't touch and you sacrificed,
you kept it in your safe.
You kept it in your
safe. You kept it under your pillow.
You kept it in your pillow. You never touched it.
You never touched it.
So whereas you put away $1 million,
you lost 2/3 of it.
You lost $700,000 of it.
Two-thirds of it. You lost 2/3 of it through inflation. And this is the truth. See, the system wants us to be price sensitive and not aware of value. If we're not aware of value, we become price sensitive to our complete detriment.
If we have the knowledge that we are putting out there today, as we would have taken the whatever, what is it, $100 a paycheck and all of that that you were doing with your 501, 457 and all that, if you would take that $100 instead of giving it to them, you did what you said, and every month you bought silver, what would you be worth today?
You wouldn't need a pension. You wouldn't need a pension.
You would not only would you not need a pension, you could retire at any time you decided, and money would not be an issue.
You would have resources. You would truly understand, and most powerful thing is, as you did it more and you understood it more, you would save more, and then guess what? You would be saving what? You would be saving in resources, and then you would truly be out of debt. Here's the thing about debt. You could pay off your car note, your student loan, your credit cards, your mortgage. Those are all contractual forms of debt. You could pay those off. But if you have cash, you're in the worst form of debt, because you have an instrument, a depreciating inflationary instrument that is stealing from you every single second you hold on to it.
It's kind of like what I was saying. It's kind of like...
Yes.
You heating your house, and it's just escaping from underneath your doors, out through your windows or your chimney. It's just escaping.
You have the air conditioner or the heat on, and all the windows are open, and all of the doors are open. You may not see the overall air conditioned air go out the window or the heated air go out the window, but guess what, Keith? You're going to feel it.
You're going to pay for it.
You're going to feel it. And then you're going to have to pay for it. It's fleeting. It's absolutely fleeting. And we have to understand monetary soundness, fiscal soundness, before you do anything is your first priority with yourself and your family and our community at large. And this doesn't matter who you are. This principle stands true. So you can actually, it doesn't have a preference or a bias to any individual, because the truth stands alone. If you practice fiscal truth, it doesn't matter who you are. What you do does. So very, very important. Very, very significantly important. It can't be made any plainer. You are actually working longer. See, they talk about the jobs, all the jobs that are coming. Yeah, they're giving you jobs, but you're not going to have a living wage that you're going to be able to make it off of. Because you won't be able to acquire the necessary resources to sustain your life.
Let's put that in perspective again. Back in 1950, when you were talking about, right? Generally speaking, a man can go out, work an 8-hour job, pay his rent and everything else, and sustain a family on that one income.
Yep.
Whereas today, we have determined that
the baby's just working.
There's not a minimum job out there today that you can work and it'll pay for your rent alone.
One household needs three individuals. One household needs eight individuals working to get the overall purchasing power of 1 8-hour day. Of the past.
Now.
And that's all eight working an 8-hour day. So all eight of them working an 8-hour day.
Now that's a perspective for you. Now that hit home.
You need 8 people working in your household, working an 8-hour day, in order for you to get accomplished with and to get 8 hours worth for 8 hours a day.
Now that is a perspective.
So you actually need 64 hours of work
per day
to get one person's 8-hour day of the past. How many people have 8 people working in their homes 8 hours a day?
Unbelievable.
Now you can see how we're in this trap that we are in monetarily, because we have faith in the facade. It's like moonlight. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing as moonlight, but you hear people moonlight. There is no such thing as moonlight. The sun, the moon doesn't give off any light. It's not a star. Only a star can give off light. It's the reflection from the sun that is reflecting off of the moon that gives the appearance that it is a glow. This is just like the wealth of the United States. It's a facade. And until we understand and until we operate that collectively, until we get it embedded in our community and in our households and into us individually, the importance of this, guess what will happen? You will continue to lose years. Now I want to put this in one more perspective. How long have most people, let's say everyone that has come to grips with this, Keith, everyone that understands this, how many years of work that you have to already waste to get to this point where you now have a more truthful understanding of what this is?
My goodness.
You can't get those years back. They are gone. So it doesn't matter who you are. It matters where you are. This is why we have to institute this into our young people right away. But even by doing it correctly, the power of real resources is so strong that even if you do that in the time that you have left, it still will be enough, because the debt is just that great. And you're going against people that, the reason why you'll be able to catch up is because of this. You're probably one of the few people that really understand this and grasp it and get it and then do it. So there's resources for you to acquire. Once everybody becomes aware of this, guess what you're going to be in competition for? The available resources. And there's a finite amount. So I hope that today's show, if you'd like to get in before we get out of here, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I hope that this show, these two shows, it laid ground to what the truth is. Doesn't matter what some financial advisor says, some banker says, someone that works in that overall, someone that is proclaimed as a astute financial individual. The key is you'll be able to tell if they are actually speaking the truth, or are they misled, or are they lying about it. Most people are completely misled, and they don't understand how this really works, because it goes against everything that's been institutionalized and schooled into our overall thinking. We think just because we go to the store, we can exchange a piece of paper for something, that makes it money. No, it's the setup. You know one thing about debt? It's a progressive move. You acquire and get into more and more and more and more until finally, they won't accept you getting any more. Now you're in real trouble. And that's the exact same thing for a sovereign country, for a currency, and for the people. There will be a time when it says we're not going to give you any more. They never say, we're not going to take any more real resources from you. You just better have enough to produce. That's the key. So, all right, everyone, just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Much love, much respect. Pastor Keith, you look like you got a headache. But I just want to say much love, much respect. There's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Great Creator willing, tomorrow, Brother Davis, Sister Davis will be on for Wise Wednesday, and we will pick up Great Creator willing on Thursday. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.